This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We'll call the Committee on Health and Human Services to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here, and we'll do some introductions here in just a welcome all the internet listeners. I'd also like to remind you, I imagine there's a couple cell phones in the room right now. And if your cell phone goes off in committee, we ask for a $25 donation to the new Habitat Fund, the governor's new fund. So I know all of you guys have phones. So you might want to turn them off or put them on silent for us, because we don't want the phones going off in committee. Unless, of course, you want to do the donation. We'll get started now. I will make an announcement right now before we get into everything. That's, if you're here for Senate Bill 72, that is going to be deferred to Thursday morning. So Senate Bill 72 is deferred again until Thursday morning. So I'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Representatives Borglum.
Present.
Deutsch.
Here.
Freimuller.
Here.
Healy.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Ms. Kimmons.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
St. John.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
York.
Here.
Wiesey.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Smith, seconded by Perry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Minutes approved. Want to remind everybody, if you're here to testify for a bill, either opponent or proponent, please sign in. If you are a lobbyist, make sure you have your badge and credentials with you. Anybody that comes to the microphone to lobby or to testify, please announce your name and who you represent, or an organization, before you start your testimony. And are the pages here? Could I have the pages come forward and introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Miriam Noble. I am from Gettysburg. Do you want to know next year? Next year, I am going to a Torchbearers International Bible School in Europe, and then I will be attending University of Minnesota for architecture.
Hi, I'm Abby Kitts, and before I start off, I'd like to say happy birthday to Mim. It's her 18th birthday today. Most of you may know I'm Chuck Turbeville's granddaughter. Next year, I plan to go to SDSU and major in exercise science, and then later go on for physical therapy.
Okay, thank you. And if you are testifying and have any information or things, handouts or anything like that to distribute, just give them to the pages, and they'll distribute them for you. And as we get going, just remind everybody to try and address your any questions or anything through the chair, and we'll keep things going that way. So I think we'll get right into it, and we're going to start with pardon me?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Oh, sure.
Sitting on this side, we have the big crew from Stanley County. They made that long road trip into Pure this morning to come visit the Capitol. Stanley County is basically Fort Pierre, but it also includes all of Stanley County, which makes it, in land-wise, one of the bigger school districts in the state. But it's good to have you guys here today. You ask us questions, or if you have any. Sometimes I have to ask questions. I don't know what I'm doing. Thank you.
Thank you. And we also want to welcome the USD medical students. I believe you're here, too. So thank you for coming. So now we'll get right into it. We'll start with House Bill 1179. It's to revise certain provisions regarding victims of sexual assault. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. House Bill 1179 is a vehicle bill that was put in place as a backup plan to House Bill 1061. 1061 was a bill that's already gone through the floor that had to do with compelling an assailant in sexual assault to give blood for HIV testing. The reason why we had a vehicle bill is there was basically two different ways to accomplish this. One was to have a separate section of code, and one was to actually intertwine it in code that we have today. We tried the first method with having a separate section of code, and since it's now made it through the House floor, I would respectfully ask that you table House Bill 1179.
And thank you.
Move we table House Bill 1179.
Okay. Okay. Representative Rounds moves to table 1179, seconded by Representative Wheezy. Secretary, call the roll.
Representatives Borglum.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Healy.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
St. John. Excused. Smith.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Wheezy.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
12 ayes.
Okay. 1179 is tabled. Thank you. So we'll move on to House Bill 1250, revise certain provisions regarding marriage and family therapists. Do we have any proponent testimony? Good morning again.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and honorable members of House Health and Human Services Committee, Representative Tim Rounds, District 24 in Pierre. House Bill 1250 is basically sections 57 through 97 from House Bill 1028 that we heard some testimony on a few weeks ago. This deals with a whole separate section, you know, family therapists, instead of the place where we're having the big debate on the first 56 sections on 1028. We thought we would bring this bill so we can move this section along. There's very little disagreement on this section of the bill, so we're going to ask the committee to, you know, look this section over, and then what we'll do is maybe move this side section along, and 1028 will be debated at a later time. And with that, Mr. Chair, I think everybody has 1250B, B as in basketball. This is the bill, and we want the bill amended with this language in it as we move along. So I'm going to ask the committee to move this and for discussion, and there will be some discussion to follow me. I'll remain available for questions. Thank you.
Okay. So do you wish to move the bill or the amendment at this time? Representative Perry, seconded by Representative Smith. All those in favor say aye of the amendment.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. So now we can we'll take the bill and proponent testimony. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Stalling. I'm the executive secretary for the Board of Counselor or Board of Examiners for Counselors and Marriage and Family Therapists. And you may all remember we had a very lengthy discussion on House Bill 1028 some time ago. By way of a short update, we continue to have discussions on the professional counselor and professional counselor mental health provisions of that bill. I think we're going to be able to come back to you with an agreement and some changes to that bill at a different time. But in the meantime, Representative Rounds had introduced House Bill 1250 to basically chunk 1028 into the two chapters that it was dealing with. So maybe the old adage of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, we're going to put the two different chapters into two different bills. House Bill 1250 deals exclusively with 3633 in the current code, which is where we license and regulate marriage and family therapists. And I don't necessarily want to be redundant of all of the testimony that I shared with you, Mr. Chair, on House Bill 1028, but there are very few changes to current law when you look at House Bill 1250. Really, the only substantive change to the qualifications of a marriage and family therapist that the board is proposing would be to raise the master's or doctorate degree from a 48-hour degree to a 60-hour degree, which is in keeping with where we're seeing the national educational requirements going. This bill also provides the same grandfathering provision for a degree that we talked about earlier, meaning if you have a 48-hour degree that's issued to you before July 1st of 2026, the board would recognize that regardless of what time frame you make application to the board for a marriage and family therapy license. Otherwise, the changes to the law are basically clarifying the board's current policies and procedures, or in the case of that we discussed earlier, making it possible for someone who's licensed out of state and wishing to be licensed in our state by endorsement to have a temporary license if they haven't taken the national examination that we require, making it possible for a current licensee to inactivate a license for a period of time, which would allow them to recognize a change in their life circumstances for whatever reason and inactivate their license, not let it expire, and then have to come back through and do the supervision that's required for a marriage and family therapist. The supervision requirements for a marriage and family therapist would be remaining the same as they are in current statute. There's no change proposed to that. And if I may, just by way of addressing the amendments, Mr. Chair, because the bill, as Representative Rounds said, is House Bill 1028, just moved into a different vehicle, different body. But when we did that, we noticed that we needed to clarify in the definition section. So if you're looking at 1250, on page 1, subsection 3 of the definitions that talks about the practice of marriage and family therapy, the way it's laid out right now, it's laid out as an A and a B. And it's not an A and a B. It's that language is one full definition. And so the amendment would return it to that full definition, saying that the rendering of professional marriage and family therapy services to individuals, family groups, and marital pairs, one-on-one or in groups, whether the services are offered directly to the general public or through organizations, either public or private, for compensation, including the diagnosis and treatment of nervous and mental disorders through the application of systemic theory and technique, whether cognitive, affective, behavioral, within the context of marriage and family systems. So that is the current definition in 3633 right now. We just need to mirror that, and that's the reason for that amendment. When you look at, I believe it's section 19, so on page 8, at the top of the bill, Representative Rounds' amendment deals with continuing education. We're not making any change or proposing any change with this amendment or with this bill to the 40 hours of continuing education that's required for a licensee. What we wanted to be clear with this amendment was that the board does prorate continuing education. So one of the aspects of this bill is that we would move to a biennial renewal of licenses. So we prorate continuing education for someone. If you happen to get your license 1 year into the 2 year renewal cycle, the board would be able to prorate the continuing education that was required of you because you'd obviously have less time to get continuing education. So the amendment makes clear the proration of continuing education. And then the remainder of the amendment just makes clear that the board would have the authority to promulgate rules regarding the professional practice of marriage and family therapy, and then also the application, licensure, eligibility, renewal, continuing education, supervision, and examination. Because if we do not make changes to House Bill 1028, as we hope you will at a later date, this contains all of the authority the board needs specific to marriage and family therapy in one section. So everything would be in Section 36-33 contained relative to marriage and family therapists. I'd be happy to go section by section with you, Mr. Chair, but I presume, based on our lengthy discussion before, that folks understand that with regard to marriage and family therapists, the two biggest changes that we'd be making would be to increase the educational requirement from 48 to 60 hours and then move to a biennial renewal. The other sections of the bill are by and large current law or clarified current law.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Terry Dash. I'm with the South Dakota Council of Community Behavioral Health. I appeared before you in support of 1028, and so I won't repeat my testimony either, except I would like to remind you that mine is an association of behavioral health provider organizations. You can think of us as employers. You can connect with a mission that we have to stay properly staffed in order to perform our important mission across the state, providing alcohol and drug treatment services and community mental health services in the state. As I mentioned before, master level counselors are the mainstay of our workforce. And we have been engaged as a stakeholder with this board, trying to overcome some of the barriers that we perceived in terms of our ability to recruit capable and qualified staff. We feel that this bill, as with 1028, this is a component of the original 1028, is a very efficable blend of assurance of public safety, but allowance for important reciprocity provisions. We really in particularly like the enhancement to the licensure by endorsement piece, which was passed previously, the temporary licensing piece that's in here, the renewal of expired licensing piece. Those all come back to helping us resolve some of our workforce challenges. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we urge your support for 1250 as amended. Thank you.
And thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Okay, I wasn't sure if they were coming up or not. Is there any other proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, I guess I'll open it up to the committee for questions. Representative Milstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mrs. Stahl? In the amendments here, why would you waive the continuing education requirement?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, would waive?
Yeah, it says that you could waive the continuing education requirement upon showing a good cause.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
That's current law, and that would be in the situation of an extreme hardship or illness or something that a particular licensee brought before the board and the board would consider on a case-by-case basis.
I could see you extending it, but actually waiving it?
Again, Mr. Chairman, we've had situations where someone has been deployed in the military and they've not been able to get the 40 hours in a period of time, but they've been able to prove that they were actually actively counseling in a different way. And so the board would handle that on a case-by-case basis to see if the experience that they were getting would be equivalent to what the board was expecting with regard to the continuing education.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Ms. Gimmons.
I have one, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On 1028, the ME just had a lot of challenge to that, basically on lowering the standards, and they're not here in opposition today. Am I to take that as you've come to better understanding with those individuals in the field that they're more satisfied with this standard, the grandfathering, and the raising of the standard for new counselors that achieve an MH standard?
Mr. Chairman, so Representative Skimmins, House Bill 1250 will deal exclusively with marriage and family therapists. I can tell you that with regard to House Bill 1028 and some of the concerns that were raised to this committee, the board has held a series of conference calls. And we have addressed or are working on addressing those concerns specific to professional counselors and professional mental health counselors. With regard to marriage and family therapists, we did not have opposition to these changes during the discussion on House Bill 1028. And we have specifically asked the people who have contacted the board if they would have any opposition to the change with regard to marriage and family therapists, and none has been registered with the board. I can't speak for them, but I can tell you that no one has indicated to the board that they object to the changes in 1250 specific to marriage and family therapists.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative York.
He took the thoughts right out of my head, so my question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Those discussions will happen when 1028 does come. Are there any other questions? Representative Freimuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have received emails requesting to not support this, and some of the things that stuck out to me was it said that they are lowering the standards to be in line with surrounding states, and they're suggesting we should actually raise the standards to others that other states have instead of lowering them. And then the other one they said is the American Counseling Association and the Association of Marriage and Family Therapy is working on a portability act that permits those with counseling license to practice in any state in the country. So are you working with those groups, considering this is a marriage and family counseling bill? Are you aware that they're already doing that? And did you have them, you know, in your conversations?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Yes, Representative Freimuller, I believe that the comments about lowering the standards are directed at the professional counselor and professional counselor mental health provisions that are in 1028. We are, in fact, raising the standards for a marriage and family therapist. There are no changes in House Bill 1250 to the number of supervision hours, the examination, any of the requirements for licensure as a marriage and family therapist. We're actually going from a 48-hour degree to a 60-hour degree. The only grandfathering provision in House Bill 1250 is to allow the board to accept that degree that may have been issued prior to 2026. With regard to portability, we actually, last year when we made the change to licensure by endorsement, we're actually using language from those two organizations in our portability process through our endorsement process. So yes, we've consulted with them, and they actually gave us some of the model language that was passed last year by the legislature, and we're just clarifying it in House Bill 1250 specific to marriage and family therapists. So I recognize the concerns that you're getting, but hopefully folks are understanding that we basically took House Bill 1250 and broke it into chapter books. So, or House Bill 1028. House Bill 1028 will remain the discussion on professional counselors, and we'll come back to you with amendments to address some of those concerns that you've received, Representative Freimuller. But House Bill 1250 deals specifically with marriage and family therapists, and we've encountered no opposition from the marriage and family therapists, and we have included their national organizations in our discussions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, I guess I'll close the public testimony portion and open it up to committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass.
Second.
Representative Milstead moves do pass. Representative Smith seconds. Is there any discussion on that motion? Yes, Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just bring this is the do pass is 1250 as amended. 1028 still here. We're still going to debate that section of 1028 that we had issues on a few weeks ago, and there are amendments coming on 1028. 1250 is splitting that bill in half. We're taking that section of the bill that really there's no real angst on this section of the bill, on these chapters. We're just going to simplify the discussion on 1028. Let's get this section moving. So I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
I would just like to thank Representative Rounds and the proponents of this bill for working together in the committee process here to take something that was difficult for us to you know, maybe come to a consensus on and working on it and taking the time to get things right. I appreciate that, and that's what the committee process is all about, and I think for our students in the room to see how that works is important to point that out.
Okay. Any other discussion? I guess have the secretary call the roll.
Representative Sporeglum.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Healy.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
St. John excused. Smith.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Wheezy.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
12 ayes, 1 excused.
Okay. House Bill 1250 goes to the floor. 12-0.
So, yeah. I think we are on that bill now, so. Yeah. So Stalzer is right inside that. Jim Stalzer. Yes.
We'll move on to Senate Bill 84, authorize the possession and administration of opioid antagonists by school district and non-public school personnel. And this is a bill being brought by Senator Jim Stalzer. He is right next door, so we'll just kind of recess for just a couple seconds until he gets here. Okay. Senator Stalzer, former Representative Stalzer, welcome and thank you. So we'll enter the House Bill 74 with proponent testimony. 84, excuse me.
Confused a minute. I'm Senator Jim Stalzer from Sioux Falls, and I represent District 11. I guess last summer I participated in several activities. One was the Mental Health Availability Task Force, or summer study from the legislature. I also attended an AVIRA program on addiction and suicide. And then I was fortunate to be invited to the White House, where I got a briefing on opioid addiction and the crisis by Kellyanne Conway. Leading up to that, I then got a phone call from Perry Groton from Kello TV, because we had passed a bill a few years ago permitting Narcan to be administered by just about everyone, police officers, EMTs, friends, family, relatives. But he asked whether this bill covered schools. And I said, gee, I thought it did. We tried to write it in such a way that it was very broad. So I visited with LRC, and they said, no, there really is a hole. We probably need legislation to cover this and to make it permissive for schools to maintain and administer Narcan. So I asked them to draft a bill. After the bill was drafted, I met with the Secretary of Health, several of the lobbyists for school organizations, asked them to review it. And about the time we had a bill that we thought was ready, then FDA indicated or signaled that they're probably going to make this an over-the-counter medication shortly. So we went back and rewrote it so that it covers today where you need a doctor's prescription, but we won't have to go back and change it when it becomes an over-the-counter. So anyway, the bill that's before you today has gone through a couple of amendments, but went through the Senate unanimously. Some of the things it does, it first of all, it's permissive for schools. It doesn't require them to do anything. It authorizes the governing board of the school, be it public or private, to acquire Narcan or opioid antagonist, and then to specify who is to be trained and able to administer it. It also specifies the training requirements that they're required to have, and that must be administered by a licensed medical healthcare professional. And then the last section, which came from the schools, is a waiver of liability for administering the Narcan or failure to have it on hand and administer it. So a couple of the other points. If I misdiagnose you or someone misdiagnoses me and I really don't have an overdose and it gives a dose of Narcan to me, there are no harmful side effects. So it's a safe product. It can be misdiagnosed and still cause no harm. The training for the Narcan itself takes about 5 minutes. Most of the rest of the training is on diagnosing or recognizing the symptoms of an overdose and so on. We've had the backing of the Department of Health and all the school administrators, and hopefully they're here to testify. But I will be available for questions and would ask you to do pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Health Committee. I'm Diana Miller, registered lobbyist for the large school group, and we rise in support of the amended Senate Bill 84. And I want to thank Senator Stalzer for his work on this. You know, unfortunately, this is a reflection of society and where we are in public education as far as the drug opiate overdoses and addictions. And it's unfortunate, but we are there. And we're all about safety of the kids. And if we save one life, it's worth it. In the larger schools, we have resource officers that have had access to Narcan. However, in some of the other schools, they need to have a designated personnel. And it is permissive for the school board to decide if they want to do that. I'm also very encouraged by the amount of protocols that have been put in place, the training, so that we make sure that whomever in the school is designated as the person going to administer Narcan, if necessary, understands all the procedures. The other issue of how you store it is important in a public school because we're familiar with storing all types of medication for students. And when we have authorization to administer those medications, they are kept under secure lock and key. That will not be any cost to the school district because of the grant funds available, and I think you'll hear from the Department of Health that we'll be able to apply for those funds to purchase the Narcan. And as Senator Stalzer said, this is simply a bridge from where we are today to where we will be, hopefully, in the near future, in that it's over-the-counter availability. However, we've built in the waiver of liability that was important to school districts. Because if for whatever reason it may or may not occur, and we administer thinking that there is an overdose, as Senator Stalzer stated, there are no repercussions from the administration. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the Health Committee, I would ask that you pass the amended version of House Bill 84, and thank you for the opportunity to appear in Health. I don't get that opportunity very often. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rob Munson with School Administrators of South Dakota, 149 schools in the state. I couldn't find my notes for this meeting this morning and just realized that Ms. Miller must have gotten a hold of them because she said everything that I intended to say on this bill. I would just, on behalf of our organization, personally thank Senator Stalzer for this. He reached out before the bill was even dropped and asked about it and wanted some input, and we really appreciated that. We believe in all students, and we care about all students that come to our school. And if with this tool that we have the permissive use of, if we can save one life at some point in time, it is absolutely all worth it. So we're looking forward to this bill moving forward, and my hope personally is that every one of our school districts will adopt this, go through the training, and have this Narcan available to save a life if needed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Kim Malsom Rison with the Department of Health, and we too stand in support of Senate Bill 84 and implore you to pass this bill. We appreciate Senator Stalzer's work on the issue at large and also reworking the bill to make it flexible for schools and give them the right framework within to make this successful. This legislation is modeled closely after how schools also have authority to administer EpiPens for students that might be having an allergic reaction, and that, from all accounts, works well right now. Last year in South Dakota, we saw 37 people overdose from illicit and prescription opioids. And so, as you've heard from the prior testifiers, preventing even one overdose death is worth this effort, and we stand ready to assist schools in this endeavor. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Dean Krogman, I represent South Dakota State Medical Association. We have supported legislation like this in the past, and we continue to support this. We think it's appropriate, and with the changes of what we see in drug addictions and so on, it's time to have this available. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, again, members of the committee.
Terry Dash, South Dakota Council of Community Behavioral Health. As treatment providers, we just want to weigh in on this one, support passage of this. We think this is really important public health policy. Its intention is to save life. And from our viewpoint as treatment providers, you know, I would just add that the opportunity to intervene is completely lost when a life is expired. And so we do support this and just want to register that publicly. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Is there any other proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Okay, thank you. We'll open it up to committee questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Deutsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Munson, please. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Munson. Curious, is there any data available on the incidence of overdose in our public schools?
Mr. Chair, Representative Deutsch, I do not have any of that data. I'm not sure if the Department of Ed or Department of Health would have captured any of that. But as far as school administrators, knock on wood, it's something that we haven't seen as an epidemic that we would want to know those numbers at this point. So we do not have anything from school administrators.
Mr. Chair, follow-up?
Sure.
Has there been discussion with the administrators? Is the intention just to train a single person or train multiple people per district?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I think that's a little bit of cart ahead of the horse because this bill is relatively new in everyone's minds, and certainly we're watching as it goes through with anticipation that it will pass, and then certainly those discussions will be held on who in the school district should and would take that opportunity to go through the training.
And one last question, please. Would this, prior to being, assuming this passes, prior to be implemented at the school district level, be something that would go through the school board to make a determination?
Mr. Chair? Yes, Representative. That would be adopted by the school board. And then, with any luck, training when they come back to start up school next year, whoever needs to be trained could be part of that preschool in-service to get those individuals trained and ready to administer this if needed.
Thank you.
Representative Rollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question would be for the prime sponsor, Senator Stalzer. Senator Stalzer, have you considered, and I'm going to quantify my question, an emergency clause on this bill due to the fact that after passing as it is, and then I have a feeling it's going to pass, July 1st would be the implementation date. School boards will have to act on this and then set up the training. I'd love to see this going before school starts, which is in the middle of August. So would an emergency clause, I consider this an emergency, would an emergency clause be acceptable?
I certainly wouldn't oppose that.
And if I could follow up this question, maybe with Mr. Munson also. Just the same question, I guess I'm looking from the school's point of view, the school board's point of view. Is there a time starting July 1st to implement all this prior to starting the school, which is the middle of August?
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
Representative, certainly I can't speak for my good friend Wade Pogany, who is the executive director of the School Board Association, even though we're awfully confused because we're both so handsome. But I would say that if an emergency clause were put in, those school districts that decided they were going to take advantage of this would pass it through a board meeting as soon as possible, and then training put in place once we have all those pieces with the help of the senator. We would certainly, those that took advantage or would want to take advantage of it, would get that through as quickly as possible.
And thank you.
Could you stay? I think we have one more question for you, Representative Milstead.
Currently in school, the school resources officers carry Narcan. What about your school nurses?
Mr. Chair, I'm not exactly sure if every school nurse has access to it, if it's in the school. of course, you know, 149 school districts, not everyone has the fortunate opportunity to have a school nurse. Many of them have visiting nurses that stop in for a short period of time. So I think with the passage of this bill, having it in the central office, especially in a number of our rural schools and smaller schools and auxiliary buildings in the larger towns, cities, I think that would be very beneficial, especially for those that do not have a sitting school nurse.
Follow-up, sorry. Senator Salzer mentioned 5 minutes to train. With all of this listed here, it takes longer than 5 minutes. Any idea about training modules for the people that are going to have it, what it actually is going to involve for the schools, and what that would cost?
I believe as far as cost, it is an online training or someone can come in and train the school. I don't see a big cost to the training itself that would stop anyone from wanting to do this. I have not seen any of the training modules yet, but anticipate it will not be that cumbersome that school districts could not do this.
If I might, you have another question? Okay. Well, I might just interject. If you don't know what Narcan is, it's, when we call it an opioid antagonist, what it all it really does is when opioids attach to the receptor sites in the brain, all it really does is it releases the opioid from the receptor, which frees up the normal brain chemistry. That's why if there's no opioid attached to that receptor site, that's why it will do no harm if you give it to somebody. The training is actually written on the side of the Narcan module. It literally, you put it up against the thigh, you hold it for 5 seconds. It's no different than an EpiPen, and almost everybody kind of is familiar with how EpiPens work. It's exactly the same thing. So I hope maybe that answers a couple questions that might come up. So are there any other questions?
Can I make a quick comment on that?
Yes.
It is now available as a nasal spray. So it's even easier to administer.
Yeah. Thank you. Representative Milstein.
Department of Health. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
You mentioned 37 overdose deaths. Mm-hmm. Are you talking adults or children?
Mr. Chair, I don't have the breakdown. I apologize for that. I should have brought that. I can tell you we do see a higher rate. So I don't have a breakdown of the ages of deaths. It is primarily adults. I can tell you that. We do see a higher rate in South Dakota compared to the national rate of young people aged 12 to 17 misusing pain medications. That's about 4% of our of that population, and that's a little bit higher than the national average. So,
thank you. With reference to Representative Rounds' suggestion of an emergency clause, school districts would have to do a first and second reading on policy change, correct? So the first they could do would be March and then April and maybe training in May. So if you're correct, if we wait till July, they would probably have to wait till July and August. They wouldn't have till September into the second readings.
If I can comment on what you're talking about
there. Yes, absolutely.
And I do believe... And this maybe should be held for comments, but I think we can do the emergency clause on the floor if we can get it to the floor. And I'm looking around the table here. I'm thinking we're going to get it to the floor, but I would really like to see it put on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, I'll close public. Oh, yes, Representative Milstein.
Just more so it makes people aware. What's the average cost of a dose of Narcan, in case everybody doesn't know that?
If you didn't hear the question, does anyone know what the average cost of a dose is? I did think that there will be grants available, so cost should be nothing to a school. But
I've been told that it's approximately $75 a dose.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, we'll close public testimony and move on to committee action or discussion.
Representative Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, I thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
She had her microphone.
Okay. I just want to thank the senator again for doing this. As an employee of a school district, I know how important it is. I don't think the training will be anything that causes any cost. Every year, a group of people from a district, from the schools, are trained for all kinds of medicine deliveries, whether that's where we keep them locked up or how they're administered. I don't think this is a detailed training, so that shouldn't be any kind of a problem at all. But just the fact that you brought this, this bill could potentially save a student's life, a student that's going to be a good member of society, but because of a bad choice, got themselves in a bad situation. It's sad that we are where we are, but here we are. And so I do thank you very much for bringing this bill to us.
Okay, thank you. I believe we had a motion do pass from Representative Wiese and second by Representative Freimuller. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, I'll have the secretary call. Oh, yes, Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I talked about earlier, I think we should pass this bill onto the floor, and I really believe that on the floor we should put an emergency clause on it. If this can save one life, it's worth it. If you've been paying attention to anything in the news these days, younger and younger people are overdosing, so I think we need to implement this as soon as possible. Thank you to the good senator and to the Mr. Chair for sponsoring this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Borglum.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Healy.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
St. John excused. Smith.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Wiese.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
12 ayes.
Okay. Senate Bill 70 or 84. I did it again. Senate Bill 84 passes, goes to the floor. Thank you. We'll now move on to Senate Bill 78, exempt certain medical providers from licensure. Do we have any proponent testimony? Good morning.
Morning, Chairman Jensen. My name is Blake Kurt. I'm a senator representing District 12 in Sioux Falls. Pleasure to be here in front of the House Health Committee today. Before I come over here each session, I forget how huge the House is, and I don't mean that as a fat joke, so... Mr. Chair, if you would allow me to just talk a little bit about the previous bill, even though it's passed, the generic Narcan's about $30 a dose, and it's pretty simple to use the nasal form. You put it up your schnoz and pull the trigger. It's pretty easy. The injectable stuff, it requires withdrawing 1 cc, and you inject it in a great big muscle like a buttock or thigh, also pretty easy. That's $130, $140, and it comes in two doses, pretty easy to get. So smart bill. I applaud the committee for taking such an enlightened view of it and passing it out today. On to the subject at hand, Senate Bill 78 is before you today as a result of an effort across many states from the orthopedic surgical profession. If you look at the first page of the bill, you'll see there's a lot of mostly style and form changes and nothing really of substance to change in our statute. The real meat of Senate Bill 78 is on the second page. The underscore is in bullet number 5. And it points to a practice that's been accepted across the United States for probably decades, where physicians traveling with teams, whether they be at the professional level, such as we just saw at the Super Bowl, or collegiate level, or even with club sports, where physicians that travel with teams will treat members of said team on the sidelines. That's been mostly accepted by states without any significant prohibition on it, but it became clear after researching it that that was perhaps in some cases practicing medicine without a license in the state where you traveled to. Certainly happens probably hundreds of times a year in South Dakota and maybe more than that this time of year in southern states where people travel to take advantage of warmer weather for athletes all across the country. You may be aware that in October of this year, Senator Thune prime-sponsored and eventually saw signed into law the federal component of this act, which says that individuals that are traveling with sports teams can be confident that their medical malpractice follows them to other jurisdictions and also that their license is considered valid. Really, 78 is an attempt to make sure that that particular federal statute's mirrored in state statutes so that a practitioner doesn't find themselves crosswise complying with federal law but in the perverse situation of not being compliant with state law. So it allows for traveling physicians with sports teams to render sideline aid to members of the team that they travel with and or those that accompany them. One important exception is For instance, if I was in South Dakota traveling from, say, North Dakota with a hockey team and I had an injured player, I could not show up at a hospital and practice medicine there. I wouldn't be able to go in and do surgery or order tests and so on. That has to be done by a practicing physician within the state that's credentialed at that hospital. So that part is important to be clear. That's really all I have on 78. It's fairly straightforward without any real hidden components to it, but I'll be here for questions if any arise. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman represents South Dakota State Medical Association, and we rise in support of this. There are several bills that talk about occupational licensure, and we watch very closely. We have several bills that dictate that you have an in-state license to practice medicine, but we do understand there are circumstances, and yesterday you passed a bill, 1111, for a special circumstance. We think this is as well, and we do support this legislation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tim Rave, Sadaho. We also rise in support of this piece of legislation. I've been watching this, working with and applaud Senator Thune at the federal level for championing this for probably over 5 years. And it's just a good piece of legislation that helps protect our physicians as they travel. So we rise in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Is there any other proponent testimony? Okay. Is there any opponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions.
Question.
Representative Deutsch.
Question sponsor, please.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Curious, has there been any conversation with the chiropractors about this? It would seem to me that given the fact that many professional teams employ chiropractors, professional Olympic, high schools, et cetera, has there been any engagement or discussions about the relevance of chiropractors to participate?
I have not personally had any, but I think if we look at the bill, it would probably contemplate that they could be included at some point should they choose to find similar legislation that would be applicable directly to the chiropractic society. I don't like to wade into other individuals' scope of practice, so I'd like to talk about what I know the most about, and that's why Senate Bill 78 is in front of you in its format today. There are some provisions already that cover other professions like athletic trainers, physical therapists, and so on, and I don't know if there's a specific one for chiropractors or not.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ms. Gibbons.
Would this cover a dentist because of a dental injury at a soccer match or a basketball game?
The dentist personally?
I've helped kids on the sideline when their teeth are knocked out.
Oh, Mr. Chair, my question was, would it cover a dentist who had a tooth injury? That's, I was trying to be ironic, I guess. It's lost.
That was me.
No, it does not contemplate dentists.
Yeah, thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Perry.
We have a dentist and a chiropractor on this committee. That's why those questions are coming up.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Deutsch.
Thank you. Just curious, does anybody know if there's been conversations with dentists or chiropractors to be included in this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative, no, I'm not aware that there has been any. I'm not aware that in general teams travel with dentists or oral surgeons, for example. I know some may, especially at the higher levels with chiropractic practitioners, especially at the professional sports level. But I'm not aware of any of those discussions.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, I'll close public testimony and move on to committee action or discussion. Representative Milstead?
I move to pass. It's okay. Common sense.
Second by Representative Healy. accused of only looking to the right. So I'm trying to look a little more left here. So, yeah. Yes. Okay, so we have a motion to pass by Representative Milstead, seconded by Representative Healy. Any discussion on that motion? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the discussion came on some different professions in here, and I'm assuming it doesn't cover podiatrists neither, but I'm not one of those, so I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm thinking in future legislation, we can fix that and get the chiropractors and the dentists together and have another bill. But I'm thinking we should pass this one along. So let's send this down to the floor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? I'll have the Representative Deutsch.
Just to comment, I don't disagree, but I'm also thinking there should be conversation and perhaps there may be a floor amendment.
Okay, I would think that might be a friendly amendment, but we'll get there when we get there. So any other discussion? We'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Representative Sporglum.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Healy.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
St. John excused. Smith.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Wheezy.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
12 ayes.
12-0. Senate Bill 78 will move to the floor. I believe we are done for today. Senate Bill 72 at the governor's office request has been moved to Thursday morning. We will take that up. It'll be our fifth bill on Thursday morning. We're going to have a busy morning. The first four will be vehicle bills for cleanup, and then we'll take on Senate Bill 72. Any other discussion? Open up for...
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Rounds moves to adjourn. Representative Perry seconds. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign.